Arteta! What a strike!
Stunning Arsenal goals and vintage performance leads to 3 points. Prove me wrong. This is the Arsenal Vision post-match podcast. My name is Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. Hey, you know what? They are not going to paint a picture of this game next to the score or next to the points on the table. And we got 3 points. And I think if all goes well, there's a chance that we could be in the top half of the table soon, which would be quite the achievement. So it is 3 points, and we will take them. And here to instantly react to it with me is Tim. You can find him on Twitter at Stroberto. Hello, Tim.
Hello there.
No Clive or Paul or Scott right now. We will zip through this. I guess the way we do this, if you're new to it, is we give you the headline that we think is the dominant headline from the match, and then players whose stock is rising, players whose stock is falling. Going forward, we each pick one, but since it's just the two of us today, we'll each pick two stock rising, two stock falling. So, Tim, start with you. What's your headline from the match?
So this reminded me a little bit of Brighton, actually, but without the disaster at the end. I think I tweeted after the first kind of 20 minutes or so, and everyone was saying, wow, we're playing well. And I was thinking, we have played well in the first 20 minutes of both games, I think, so far, to varying degrees, obviously, because they're very different opponents. But what that tells me, and again, maybe this is my kind of natural bias towards Arteta coming out, is that actually the game plans have been good, and that the setup has been good, and the ideas have been good. Maybe the in-game management hasn't been as great, but generally I think Arsenal have gone out with the right idea, and I think they did again today. I was doing a bit of research for someone this week, and I was looking into the
was it at a black site and it's all
no, it's just, you know, when you do research work, you know, you don't disclose,
right,
who you're
don't
doing
get
the research
that, yeah,
for.
You don't get credit. Yep, I get it.
But yeah, so I watched the Norwich Southampton game quite closely because I was looking at Norwich, right? And Norwich tried to go quite aggressive, and they matched up Southampton's 4-4-2. Which actually wasn't a terrible idea on paper, but Daniel Farke said afterwards, I don't have the players to do it. Kind of my bad, because they don't have any forwards that can hold the ball up, for example, and they don't have many players that score goals. And so he was saying, we thought we could do this and we couldn't. I don't have the players to do that. And I think Arsenal, as well as really overloading the left-hand side, which was a very obvious tactic, which worked really well for the first 20-odd minutes or so, I think going over the top of Southampton was something we did quite well. And I won't talk about it too much now just because it might come up in the stock rising. But, you know, utilising Emi Martinez's long kicking, that was something that was very interesting to me. And there were a couple of times we went long, and it looked to me like even with Xhaka there, we weren't quite as focused on building out from the back. I think we were a bit more punchy and a bit more direct. And I think we carried a lot of threat going forward. I really do. I just think that in some positions we haven't quite got the players to execute.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't complete a lot of final third passes, and we didn't create a lot of shots, but I thought we moved the ball through the thirds better. You know, when the ball moves quickly, we seem to look okay. It's just there are certain players it bogs down with, and maybe that'll come up, as we mentioned, in the stock falling section. My headline, Tim, is 3 points. As dumb as it sounds, look, we talked about this a bit with Emery. Whatever your plan is, whatever you're trying to teach the players, whatever you're trying to institute philosophically, and with Emery, I don't think it was ever clear. In order for it to succeed, the players need to see that when they do the thing you're telling them to do, they get the reward of the points, right? I think given the first two losses, really harsh, right? I mean, we were in the game with City and Luiz takes it away from us, then gets the red card. We're leading Brighton and then just sort of go to pieces inexplicably and lose it at the death. You need 3 points to keep people wanting to listen to what you're teaching them. If you keep dropping points, eventually the players, and especially the senior players first, will look at you and just say, nah, man, you don't know what you're talking about. And then everything will be open to analysis, right? Your subs, which maybe people go, I didn't love the subs, but it worked out. Like, if you're losing everything you're doing is wrong. Wow, why is he, you know, why has he got this left side bias? Why are we playing three at the back? Why are you subbing this, that, the other thing? And that's not just fans who will look at it that way. Players will too. So for a team that's been as down as we are, 3 points is critical. And look, at the end of the day, yep. Europa League isn't out of the question, Tim, and you might say we're better off without it. Focus on the league next season. I don't know that the economics of that are accurate, but, you know, for me, the headline has to be the 3 points. We are a team that needs it. Arteta is a coach that needs that reassurance. The players need to see that what he's trying to instill in them can work. And forgetting whether it was vintage or not, you know, especially coming back to ply your trade in the middle of a pandemic and you're isolated and you're not allowed to see friends and family, go out and do anything. It's just concentrate on football in a vacuum. You got to pick up points, and we did.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is the pertinent point, really. And I was reflecting on this, you know, in the last couple of days or so, and I do think we have had some bad luck, and I do think we were, and not to completely kind of alleviate our part in our own downfall, I do think we were unlucky against Brighton as well in many ways, and I think we did some good stuff, and you're right, like. You know, we talked about before, you know, will he go to a back three or something like that? And I think Clive said, I think quite rightly, you know, about just keeping playing the same way for the reason that you said, so that kind of faith's there. And I've always thought that a manager should not do that when they first come in, do the tinkering. Like, they need to get trust in a system and a style, and then I think you can do the tinkering. And actually, Arsenal, they did it a bit today. They did it a bit within the same kind of setup. They just made a little tweak, particularly on that left-hand side, tucking Tierney in, which made a lot of sense. And you're right. And once, I think you could see some nerves with 20 minutes to go at 1-0. I think we got in a lot of good counter-attacking situations and just, you know, didn't have that quality of pass. Once it went to 2-0, you just saw the confidence come right back, and hopefully we can carry that into Sunday now.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I don't, you know, my glib opening notwithstanding, I don't think this was a good performance in totality, but I don't think we're a team capable of a good performance in totality. So I'm happy to pick out, and we'll get to this on the full pod when we do it tomorrow, but I'm happy to pick the bones out of the performance, you know, and say this is the stuff that was good that we can carry forward. And then here's some things that are worrying. But for a team that has been as far down the ladder as we have been, even stepping up one rung is a big step. So as I mix all kinds of metaphors and analogies there, Tim, let's get to stock up. How about you pick, why don't you pick one? I'll pick one. We'll alternate back and forth. You got a first stock up?
Yeah, sure. So the first stock up would be Granit Xhaka for me, because and this is not to completely forget the flaws that exist in his game. I think he has been missed. Like, it can be simultaneously true that he can be a bit of a liability and that he's one of our most important players. That those two things can be true at the same time. Internet, it is possible for two competing facts to exist at the same time. But yeah, and you know, sometimes someone's stock really rises when they don't play. Mm-hmm. And Xhaka was certainly getting into that kind of area. But I think particularly the first 20 minutes or so, when we were really overloading that left-hand side and we started well again, and, you know, Xhaka was, he just gives you some assurance. And again, sometimes he doesn't, but most of the time, I think he just gives you real assurance. Even the fact that you know what he's going to do, you know where he's going to sit, you know where he's going to be, and you know what he wants to do when he gets the ball. And actually that brings a sense of reliability, because when someone gives the ball to him, they know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to want the ball on his left foot, and he's going to spin a pass into someone, and it's probably going to be a good pass. And that kind of reliability, I think, is something we've missed in the midfield. Like, I think Guendouzi can do that job, and I thought he did it fine against Brighton. Not amazingly, but he did it fine. I think he largely did what he had to do. But I don't know, there's something a bit more metronomic about Xhaka. You look at him and you think, yeah, I know what I'm getting here today. There's a small chance that he might lose his tiny little mind and hack someone's legs away in the penalty area. But I'm 98% sure I know what I'm going to get. And yeah, in that kind of first half where we had the most left biased Arsenal team I think I've ever seen, you know, Tierney, Saka, Xhaka, Aubameyang, that's quite a collection of left sided players. And I think he just brought he brought like a bit of stability and reassurance. And even though we went a bit more direct, there was that pass in the first half where Saka was unfortunately offside. But Xhaka just, you know, it was a through ball, which I can't remember the last time I saw an Arsenal player play a through ball. But it's just, it's the pace he puts on the ball. Like he zips it. And I just think that brought us something, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, I was going to say I might have been more on board with that until late in the game where we had a counterattack and he could have just slipped it through to Aubameyang running in behind and he tried to go to Lacazette instead between the defenders and it wasn't there and it got cut away. I think if I had to complain about something in this game, and there are things you could complain about, some of the decision-making on counterattacks, I mean, we're still such a bad counterattacking team in some way for a team that has good counterattacking forwards. You know, I think in Aubameyang and Nketiah and Pepe, guys who could really play on the counter, and we just don't leverage counterattacks the way we should. My first stock up will be Rob Holding because he was competent. And that's like being prime Maldini and Cannavaro combined at Arsenal right now. I thought he was competent. He headed away. We looked pretty secure on set pieces, I felt. His distribution wasn't appalling like it had looked previously. I thought he looked assured at the center of a defense that by and large wasn't super troubled. And I mean, if we are going to have any hope next season, we need Saliba to be great and someone else to be competent. And I wouldn't put a lot of money on that person being Mustafi, even though he's sort of rehabilitated his reputation. It's not going to be Socrates. I still don't think it'll be Luis, although that's not to say he could never play. I am not a Pablo Mari fan. You may have heard that from my previous albums. So for me, Rob Holding is the guy that if he could get back on a trajectory of being a competent professional center back, that would make a big difference. And today was a step in that direction. So he's my first stock up. Any thoughts on that? Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say one thing. I do think one thing that was quite important was just having Tierney tucked in. I think that really helped him out, particularly on the left-hand side. Again, from watching Southampton, they love that channel. And look, we've seen it before with Shane Long. That's what he does. He runs that channel all day long. But Danny Ings likes it as well. Obafemi as well. He's another. They have Redmond out wide. You know, Southampton love that channel. That's where they really hurt you. And I thought it was just really smart just to tuck Tierney in almost as a left-sided centre-back and just bring that little bit of reassurance. And I think that helped Holding because it just meant that he didn't have to sprint into green space. He could do holding things, mm-hmm. You know, just kind of cover that 10 yards of space. And given the fact that his issues are, in my opinion, more fitness based than anything, though it remains to be seen whether they will ever go away, obviously, I just think that helped him out.
Yeah, agreed. You got a second stock rising?
I do. I'm going to take this away from you, I'm afraid. Aubameyang.
Yeah, he's so good, isn't he? He's so good at football.
Yeah, and it feels kind of cheap just because everyone knows that Aubameyang's good, but I'm not sure people know how good sometimes. And, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about certain characters, certain individuals who are perhaps not putting it in, who perhaps have a foot out the exit door. That has never been a problem for Aubameyang. He plays 90 minutes of every game, which is not only an amazing physical feat considering the way he plays and the fact that he's now 31. But if anyone, look, no one has the right to do this ever in a team. But if anyone has the right to complain and pout a bit about what's going on at the moment at Arsenal, it's Aubameyang. You know, because he's saying he could say, you're not playing him in my optimal position. I make all these brilliant runs, but we haven't got anyone who can pass me the ball. And he made a couple today as well. There was one in the first half where Ceballos just doesn't slip him in. He goes for Pepe instead because it's a safer pass. You highlighted the one from Xhaka, but he was killing Southampton.
There's the Nketiah one too, where he gets it in the center of the box and it takes sort of a toe poke shot instead of just touching it on Oba.
Yeah, and then you know, Aubameyang, you know, there was the talk from Steve Round about not having negative behaviours, and you never see that from Aubameyang. Time and time again, he makes runs and doesn't get the ball, and you never see him throw his arms up. You never see him have a go at anyone. And then in the second half, when the situation is kind of exactly reversed, Aubameyang tries to tee Nketiah up, and it's good defending, and he you know, doesn't quite get the ball right, and it's really good defending. But, you know, there's no pouting or anything. And the guy, he hasn't scored for a little while, actually. I think he's four games without a goal now. And so, you know, he'd been really keen to score, and he did a really selfless job of running that channel, the channel that ironically Southampton love. And I just think he killed them in there time and time again. And I do think if we had either a number eight with a forward pass, or maybe even Mesut Ozil, he definitely would have helped himself to a goal today. But he just sat in that little space, and I just think Southampton couldn't deal with him. And he was excellent. And the credit he gets is as a goal scorer, and obviously that's his superpower, but he's a really good footballer as well, and we saw that today.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a player sent off with his incredible burst, yep. And that makes the point secure. I think he's unlucky not to score. I thought that was a miss, but it looked like on the replay it was a save. His running's just crazy intelligent, and it's unfortunately always going to mean that you wind up with the debate, should he be the one running through the middle? Should he be the one, you know, getting more of those opportunities? I think he does a great job, though, running that channel between fullback and center back. And if a fullback's pushed up, then really all you're doing is running outside a center back instead of between two of them. So maybe there's something to that. I'll make my other stock rising, and it's tough because there are a couple guys that I think you might want to call out, but this is a short pod, and this is how we do it. I'll make my last stock rising the guy who sent him in, Emi Martinez. Yep. Look, I don't think he's a great player with a huge future. I do think he performed today at a level that was very, very important for us. He was secure. He made good saves. His distribution was really good, and I didn't particularly know that he had that in him. And I certainly think if you look at the performance today, you come away thinking, well, maybe this is a guy who could be our goalkeeper until Leno is back and stay on as a rotational option, you know, for cup ties and be a backup for Leno. I don't know that he's ever going to be a first choice at a big club, but I'll admit I didn't have a very high regard for him. Maybe I tend to be a little bit like that sometimes, but this was a good performance. And I think credit where it's due. For a player who probably won't get a lot of attention, I wanted to recognize him. I thought his distribution was good. He was safe and secure. No complaints from me. You, Tim?
Yep. No, completely echo all of that, right down to the fact that I wasn't sure I really rated him that highly. But yeah, you're right. I completely agree. I don't think he's the next Arsenal number one in waiting, but if he can be a good backup, great. Mm. And that's what he did today. Like nothing, you know, there were some really good long passes, but there was kind of one save to make from Shane. Was it from Shane Long or Danny Ings? I can't remember, but makes it. Really does really well to gather up the rebound. Lovely. That's your job done. And, you know, the good long kicks, that's a bit of a bonus. But, you know, you had one save to make. You made it. You did your job. Didn't make anyone panic. Nice and calm on the ball. You know, just didn't do anything wrong. Really good kind of 7 out of 10 performance, which is what you want from a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And to be fair, Leno, for all the things he's been great at, and I got nothing negative to say about Leno except what I'm about to say. His long kicks have been bad. I mean, he completes like 20% of them. They tend to balloon a little bit, and we don't really have a player to chase it down. Martinez went with more of an arrowed sort of frozen rope is what you call it here in the States when you're talking about NFL. But, you know, that kind of angle on it, and it worked a little better. I think people will be bummed that one of the goal scorers and potentially a man of the match candidate didn't get mentioned in Nketiah. But remember, this is an instant reaction, and there'll be a full pod coming tomorrow. So I imagine Eddie Nketiah will get plenty of discussion in that one. All right, time to get to the blockbuster event of any podcast, the negativity. Who's your first stock falling?
So my first stock falling is Hector Bellerin. Actually, I thought again. So I have some sympathy because who was on the right-hand side of the team today? None of the players we've just picked out, even down to Rob Holding, was the left centre half, you know. Pepe didn't do an awful lot. Ceballos, not great again. Bellerin. And the thing is with Bellerin, I kind of accept that it's a bit of a mishmash of a right-hand side. We had a big left-sided bias. But his passing was just a bit off. And I know he didn't have a huge amount of options, but he messed up quite a lot of fairly simple passes, I thought. And it's, yeah, I mean, he's not played well for a while now. And that doesn't mean I think he's rubbish and that we should bin him or anything like that. And, you know, he's still coming back from injury and then stopping for 3 months and coming back again, I think is going to be tough. But yeah, I was looking for a good performance from him today, and I just don't think we got it for one reason or another.
I have to agree with that, and it gives me no pleasure to do it. I think there's always been some questions for me about, you know, is Bellerin elite as a defender, but getting up the pitch and getting into the final third and beating a man and overlapping a man, like I thought that was his superpower. He's not being asked to do that. He's being asked to tuck in, and I've always felt he's a really nice possession passer, a good, close, short passer, and today he did not have that at all. He didn't have the touch, the close control, the passing, and it could be rust. I mean, he's a player who missed a lot of time to injury, comes back briefly, and then has to miss more time to the pandemic. So, you know, I mean, we have a lot of patience for Rob Holding, and we don't have a lot of patience for a guy who had just as serious an injury and just as much of a layoff and is being asked to play a much more integral, involved role and a different role than any he would have played. So my patience is undiminished so far, but yeah. This is a guy who's struggling. Gives me no pleasure to say it. My stock down is going to be Danny Ceballos.
Yeah.
My first one anyway. I just don't know what kind of player he is. I think he technically is a fairly talented player in some ways, but that ball's got to move faster. He's got to be more direct. You got to get the ball into the final third. You got to push more final passes and get players into chances. I mean, if we're going to criticize Guendouzi for not scoring and not getting assists, you know, we're going to be critical of all these guys. I mean, what is it that Ceballos is doing? I don't know that his deep distribution is very good, and he's not providing anything in the attacking third. You know, Joe Willock is not my cup of tea, but he got a goal because one thing Joe Willock does is he joins the attack and he gets into the box and he scores. It's something that he can do. I don't know what Ceballos is giving us right now, and I think given that he's on loan, there's some talk that we could do the loan again or whatever the case may be. Tim, for me, we need something different in midfield. Guendouzi is 21 and he's ours. We own him. We have a couple other young players who are interesting we might want to look at. We have some millstones around our neck like Mesut Ozil. We have Torreira, who knows what the future holds for him. But Ceballos isn't a player that I think we need to be committing any more of this experiment to.
No, I don't think so. I always had that in the back of my mind when we got him, actually. Not that I thought I didn't know if he was a good player or a bad player, but I listened to, like, I read stuff by, you know, people who watch a lot of Spanish football, like Sid Lowe and Dermot Corrigan, and they kind of said, yeah, nice player, you know, passes the ball well, but you know, doesn't get many goals and assists. And I thought, is that the guy that's replacing Ramsey then? Which is not to say we have to get someone exactly like Aaron Ramsey, but you know, when you look at, I don't know, obviously it's really unfair to try and compare everyone to Silva De Bruyne, but you know, I was looking at that midfield and just thinking, so who's going to score? And that's how it's proved. And I think I read from James Benge, two passes into, I can't remember if it was into the final third or into the area.
Final third,
Ceballos.
I think.
Final third.
I believe that's right. That's
you know, for a number eight, that's quite poor, really. Even given his qualities and talents, which unfortunately I think the thing is he has qualities and talents, but none of them that are particularly outstanding.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a bit. And, he'd kill at five a side.
Yeah. And I mean, when he's on it, you know, when the ball's really sticking and he gets past the first guy and can kind of go forward, it's great. But I still think he's too slow to then release the ball. You know, you see this with a lot of players who kind of flatter to deceive. I think, Tim, these guys who have a little trick in them, have a little close control in them, but don't have the passing. And so they get into positions where you think they're going to do something, but they never do that thing. You know, and I just think we often talk about 3-star hotels, and until we raise the level of what we expect from the players we have, we're going to keep getting the same return. Ceballos isn't a bad player. Is he a player who's taking us up a level? I don't think he is. You got a second stock down?
Yeah, on the right side again, Pepe. You know, unfortunately, the way you've got to look at it, he started a game. He was the first player taken off after 62 minutes, And I thought we played him more as an inside forward today. And I think, again, in the first 20 minutes, that looked like it was working really well. And look, ultimately, if Nketiah doesn't make a complete hash of that pass, then, you know, he has, if not an assist, because Nketiah should pass that to Aubameyang, you know, a decent pre-assist. But, unfortunately, we just, particularly in that second half, I just thought, I thought wisely and deliberately set up on the counter-attack, not just because they were 1-0 up, but because of the heat. It's very, very hot in England today. It's the hottest day of the year.
And sunny, hence the umbrellas in the stands.
and it still was hot. It's still hot now, recording at 8:30 in the evening. It's still pretty warm. And so I thought that made some sense, and I thought we had the players on to do it. When you look at Aubameyang running the channel, and Nketiah is not a special player, but he will run, as we saw for the goal. Even when we brought Willock on, you know, Willock, again, perhaps not special, but he can do that counter-attacking thing. And this is where you think for Pepe, right, this is one of the few times this has really been set up for you, because we're playing you more as an inside forward, and now we're playing on the counter. That's where you made your name at Lille. And he just didn't quite do it. And then he just had that, there was that really soft, like nothing challenge with Redmond, and he went down. And I think after that, Arteta just kind of said, no, we need something else here. So again, your 72 million winger, he didn't have a nightmare, but he was taken off after 62 minutes. And yeah, it's still a concern.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a bit more sympathy for him in that I don't think Ceballos wanted to give him the ball. I don't think Bellerin had a good day. I don't know where the service was supposed to come from. I still don't totally see how this works for him, frankly, the way it's being done. I thought he had a couple of nearly moments, but yeah, I mean, he does need to do more. Maybe we will see him do more if he's used a little differently, or if the system has changed a bit. But for right now, I don't think it's happening for him. Tim, I mean, if this were a longer pod, I'd want to dive into chicken and the egg here, you know, in terms of where the issue is. Is it really with Pepe, or is it with the system, or is it with the players around him? But it's a short pod, and we're not trying to do that. So for now, I will take, I'll take that. I mean, So I guess I owe us one more stock down. And
yes.
I guess if I had to pick, which I do.
It's at least encouraging that it's a difficult choice.
I don't want to waste it. I think maybe my stock down will be Ainsley Maitland-Niles, as harsh as that is.
Yeah.
He came on, it just didn't work for him. I mean, you're really being picky in a very small cameo, but it was a part of the game where, you know, we were looking for a little added energy and control. He didn't provide it. Then we got on top of the game. He was still giving it away. He had one really bad giveaway, I think. He didn't seem on it. It looked like the Maitland-Niles we'd sometimes criticize at right back, where he just didn't look interested. And I just don't get the sense, Tim, this is a player that's chomping at the bit to restore his Arsenal future.
No. And look, I think you can say stock falling as well, because Arsenal have clearly got issues on the right-hand side of midfield, and he's still not playing.
Yeah.
And Xhaka was injured and he didn't get a game, and Ceballos isn't really doing it on the right-hand side of midfield and he's still not getting a game. I mean, that's stock falling. You know, the other one I thought about was Lacazette.
Lacazette.
And that's not because of anything. Like, he was fine when he came on. It's just Nketiah played, and Nketiah, I don't think, is a hugely special player, but he scored again. You know, he's on a half-decent scoring run. And again, it's not hold the back page stuff, but it's more than Lacazette is giving us at the moment.
I mean, you have two players in very different parts of their career, but two players who you'd have a hard time seeing them staying at Arsenal next season in the role they're currently occupying. You know what I mean? Now, whether Arsenal could move on Lacazette is an open question. I think you could get something from Maitland-Niles just because of the way the market works. But yeah, I think that this performance gets a stock sideways for me a little bit. Like, I don't know if this is a performance we're going to be bragging about tomorrow. I think we're going to try to put a positive spin on it because we got the 3 points. But it is clear to me that what Arteta still needs to do is, I don't know if it's philosophical. I don't know if it's fear because he's a young manager and he doesn't trust his back line, but like, we're never going to be a stalwart defensive team. So I still think he's got to find ways to unleash the attack more and get more from the front line. You know, Pepe can help him more, but he's got to solve that right side problem. You're right. I mean, Bellerin not getting it done, Ceballos not getting it done. What would it take to get Mesut Ozil back into the team? You know,
And
no one's going to pretend Mesut Ozil is the Mesut Ozil of old, but given the standard of what we're getting in that area, he doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, final thoughts on that?
Yeah, completely agree. I was surprised not to see him come on again today. But yeah, and it's again, I tweeted about this the other day. Like, again, two things can be true at once: that it can be time for Mesut Ozil to go on, to move on, and for us to really just get rid of a bit of a soap opera, and he can still be a really important player. And the reason he's still important is just because we don't have anyone that does an impression of what he does. There's just no one else. Like, there is no backup for what he provides, that kind of knitting the midfield and the forward line together, particularly over on that right hand side. I did think today, I didn't quite tweet it, but on about 65 minutes, I tweeted something like, you know, we're actually getting good counter-attacking positions here, but the quality of the pass isn't there. And what I was initially going to tweet but deleted it was, if we bring Ozil on, we kill this.
Mm.
And that's not because I think it's the Ozil of like 2016 who's hitting through balls, but I just thought the space was there, and I don't think it needed to be an absolute world class laser guided through ball. I think it just needed to be competent, and we didn't even have that. And Ozil has declined, but he is still competent.
Yeah.
You know, both in his kind of final third passing and his control and everything. And you know, it's kind of a shame that that's all he is now, because he's got more talent than that. But nevertheless, it's still better than anything anyone else that we have provides in that position.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that leaves us 6 points off United and Wolves in fifth and sixth, 2 points off Spurs in seventh, 1 point off Sheffield in eighth, 1 point above Palace in tenth as we sit ninth. But we have Sheffield and Wolves as two of our next three. We still play Spurs. So while I wouldn't say I have confidence in any game, let alone those games, Sheffield, Spurs, and Wolves are the three teams above us, and we play all three of them in the coming weeks. So our
future... And we play Spurs.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, I guess you could argue, in a little bit of luck, you know, we play Spurs away in front of no fans. So, you know, they had to come to ours, and we don't have to go to theirs with any fans. So yeah, look, I think I'm not saying there's tons of cause for optimism, Tim, but our ability to climb the table is still very much in our hands, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. Maybe better if it was in someone else's hands. But okay, let's leave it there. We'll have a regular pod tomorrow, presumably, and Clive, I think, will be on that. Maybe Scott will join us. I'm sure Paul will be there. Tim, I imagine you will as well.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Tim's on Twitter, Stoberto. Thanks, Tim.
My pleasure as always.
My name is Elliot Smith. I'm Bachman on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. We love you for being patrons as always, and congrats to 3 points. We didn't ruin the day or the evening, depending on where you are. I hope you enjoy watching City and Chelsea, if that's even possible. But regardless, we love you, and we'll talk to you after. Drum roll, is it Sheffield?
Sheffield United.
Yes, Arsenal 10, Sheffield News.